Welcome to installment 187 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment number 70, the commandment to bring the sacrifice called an Asham Tolui, a guilt offering when there is a doubt whether or not a sin has been committed. In yesterday's portion, we discussed a Korban Chatos, the sin offering, which was brought only for a certain category of sins. As we discussed, the penalty for certain transgressions in the Torah is kores, or a cutting off of the soul from God. This penalty is incurred when one has done the transgression intentionally. If it was done unintentionally, one is required to atone, at least at the times of the temple, by bringing a korban chatos, a sin offering. Contrary to popular belief that a sin offering was brought for every transgression, it was rather brought only for an unintentional transgression of one of these more severe types of sins. What would be if a person is not even certain that they had done this transgression? Let us say, for example, a person ate a certain piece of fat from a piece of meat, and did not know that it was really one of the forbidden fats. Since he did so unknowingly, and the penalty for eating forbidden fats is kares, this person would have to bring a chatas, a sin offering, since he did the violation unknowingly. But what would be if there were two pieces of fat in front of him, and he did not know which one was the kosher one? One was kosher, and one was not kosher, and the person ate one of them. Later on, the other one that was not consumed was lost, or consumed by someone else. In this case, the person not only did not intend to do a sin, but even more so, he doesn't even know whether a sin was done unintentionally. Perhaps the one piece of fat that he ate was the kosher piece. And the one which was lost was the non-kosher piece. Under such circumstances, the person is required to bring an asham toli, a guilt offering which is brought in a case of doubtful sin. This is today's commandment, positive commandment number 70. It is important to keep clear that this is not only an unintentional sin, but rather in this case, we do not even know whether a sin was done at all. This commandment is described in the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, which state, Ve'im nefesh kisechata, when a soul sins, a person does a transgression. What was his transgression? Va'asasa achas mikol mitzvei Hashem. He did one of those commandments of God, asher lo yaseh, which he is forbidden to do. V'lo yada, and he doesn't really know. Va'ashem, and he is guilty. V'nasa avaneh, he must bear the responsibility. In this case, when the verse says that he did not know, this refers to the fact that he does not know whether the sin was done or not. What does he do in such a case? The verse continues, V'hevi ayel tamim min hatzein, v'erkecha, he must bring an unblemished ram of a certain value, la'asham, as a guilt offering, ela kayin, to the kohen, v'chiper alav ha'kayin al shigigaseh asher shagag v'hu la'yoda, and then he will be atoned for his unintentional sin that he committed through his lack of knowledge. We therefore see that the reason for this particular sacrifice is because the person does not know whether a sin was done or not. Should he be certain that he did a sin, but it was only an unintentional sin, he must bring a sin offering, a chatas. In this case, since it is not certain whether he did a sin or not, he must bring the asham toli, or this dependent or uncertain guilt offering. Should he later on discover that he actually did eat the non-kosher piece, or did actually commit one of these category of transgressions, then he will be required at that time to bring the chatas, the sin offering, since it has become clarified that he did do the transgression. The details of this commandment, the Rambam concludes, are described in the Talmudic tractate Krisus. Incidentally, this sacrifice is mentioned specifically in our daily prayers in the chapter of Mishnah Ezel Mekayman, which is said before Hodu. Six different types of guilt offerings are listed in the fifth Mishnah. The last of the sixth is an Asham Toli, which is this guilt offering we are discussing today. There's one very interesting aspect of this commandment, of this different particular type of sacrifice, which is a subject of much discussion among the commentaries. The chatas, the sin offering, which is brought for a definite sin, has a certain value. But this asham toli we're discussing today must be of an even more valuable animal. It must be from a ram, which is more valuable than the sin offering. This seems to be the opposite of the severity of the offense which was done. When it comes to the chatas, a sin was definitely done. It was only unintentional. But this, asham toli, we do not even know whether a sin was done. Perhaps, as in the case we quoted, the person ate a kosher piece of meat. Why should he have to bring a greater sacrifice than the one who definitely did a sin, only unintentionally? The Rabbeinu Yena in the Tractate Brachas explains that this is actually a lesson for all of the commandments. When a person does a certain transgression, he knows he has done wrong, and he is therefore inspired to do tshuva, to mend his ways, and to make a firm resolution not to go again on the same path. However, if a person is not certain whether he has actually done the sin, he never really does tshuva. He never regrets having done anything wrong, and he has no feeling, no certainty that he actually has done wrong. Therefore, since he does not repent, the effect of this sin remains with him for all time, since he is not doing tshuva. Along comes the asham toli to tell him that no, a transgression has occurred, and you are required to do tshuva. You must mend your ways. You should not have been in such a situation where you do not even know whether a sin occurred or not. Therefore, a person still must mend their ways to keep away from such a situation. Therefore, since it's so much more difficult to do tshuva under such circumstances, when it's not even certain whether the sin has been done or not, a person is required to bring the asham toli of an even greater value than a definite sin offering. This point, that a doubtful transgression is in a way even worse than a definite transgression, is used by the Alter Rebbe in Lakuta Teira to explain the difference between the exile after the first temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in comparison with the second Beis HaMikdash. The first temple was destroyed, our sages tell us, because of the transgression of the most serious violations in the Torah, idol worship, murder, and adultery. Nevertheless, the exile from Israel after the destruction of the first temple lasted only 70 years. This is sharply contrasted by the destruction of the second temple, which the exile after its destruction is lasting still to the present day. What was the sin which caused the destruction of the second temple? Our sages tell us that they were punished for sinas chinam, unwarranted hatred. The obvious question which arises is how could it be that when the most serious violations were transgressed, the exile lasted such a short time? Whereas in the second temple, where the only sin was sinas chinam, unwarranted hatred, the exile has lasted so much longer. The Alter Rebbe explains this with the point we have mentioned here, that when it comes to even the most serious sins, a Jew has the power of tshuva, a power of return, of repentance, and the power to mend his ways and rectify any wrongdoing which may have occurred. Therefore, although the transgressions were extremely serious, the Jews took it to heart, and they repented, they did tshuva, and therefore their exile lasted only for 70 years. However, at the times of the second temple, when the sin was seen as chinam, unwarranted hatred, they never actually did tshuva. They never fully repented, because they always thought, this that I hate another Jew is really warranted. Look what he did to me. He acts in such a way, and he deserves this, and he deserves that, and why does he act like this? And therefore they think that the hatred actually has a reason. Therefore they never realize actually that the sin has occurred. And since even though they're aware that there is a possibility that their hatred is unwarranted, nevertheless, they are uncertain. Perhaps the hatred is warranted. Therefore, the seriousness of the offense is partially contained in the fact that they don't even know that the sin has occurred. This is just like the Asham Toli, which is higher in value than even the positive, the definite sin offering, because this transgression is in a way more serious. And even down to the present day, we can still correct this transgression of unwarranted hatred. Since, as we say in the holiday prayers, Mipnei chataeinu golinu me'artzeinu, we have been exiled from our land because of our sins, as soon as we eliminate the cause of our exile, we can automatically return to the land of Israel. So since we were exiled and the temple was destroyed because of unwarranted hatred, when we counter this with unwarranted love and closeness to every Jew, regardless of his or her circumstance, we can reverse the effect of the destruction and bring about immediate geula, immediate redemption, with the speedy building of the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.